little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1974, the United States Congress passed the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act. It was the first comprehensive federal legislation dealing with the issues concerning child abuse, child welfare, the welfare of children. And among other things, this act provided funding for states to appoint guardians ad litem to represent abused and neglected children. The federal act supplied the impetus for the Florida legislature to become the nation's leader in providing GAL representation statewide. Now, as a result of both federal law and all of the efforts among dedicated child advocates, in 1975, the Florida legislature passed legislation authorizing courts to appoint a GAL in cases alleging child abuse. In the years that have passed, now almost four decades, the work of guardian ad litem in Florida has been unparalleled. It's remarkable. Just the number of volunteer hours alone are staggering, and the caliber of the people who commit themselves to this work as volunteers is inspiring. So it is my pleasure to bring to you a man who has committed himself to this work in a very specific way, and what we're going to learn about his participation with the organization really has to do with how the organization is able to move forward in doing more, in reaching more, in advocating on behalf of more children. It's really about the kids. Guardian ad litem in Florida is a state agency, but it is accompanied by a foundation. And if it were not for the foundation, the work would not be as proficient. There's no question about it, that this foundation serves to bring awareness and funding that is much needed. So we have with us Eric Clark. He is the chief executive officer for the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Foundation. And it's a pleasure to welcome you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Brian. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It is our pleasure. And welcome to Florida, by the way. Folks, you need to know that Mr. Clark is relatively new to the whole Florida scene. But from my understanding, thus far, we've treated him well, so he's not planning on packing his bags anytime soon. He's a Virginian, big Virginia baseball fan, but has already fallen in love with our Seminoles. So that's very good of you to embrace your new home so generously.
Well, we've lived here since July of 2014, my wife, Michelle, and my son, Tyler. And this was our first move. We had lived, both of my wife and I both were from the same town, and we had lived there 46 years.
Goodness.
So they always say the first move is the hardest. And we've been blessed that Tallahassee has welcomed us with open arms. Yeah. And it's just ironic the way that things work in your life, in that I am a big baseball fan and always have been. Played a little bit of small college baseball myself. And when we were looking for a place to live, knew nothing about Tallahassee. So we go and rent a place, and my landlord is Coach Mike Martin, his wife Carol. So now I have to be really careful and not wear my Virginia baseball stuff.
Just out of courtesy.
I've had to buy a lot of Florida State baseball shirts. But if you come to a Florida State game, you'll probably see us sitting behind home plate a lot of times with Miss Martin.
How
they're
cool.
Just wonderful
people. And what a
people.
Great way to meet Tallahassee firsthand, by meeting the wife of the beloved, legendary Mike Martin. So I would say Tallahassee's done well in wrapping its arms around you. And in the process, you find yourself working within a field that is not new to you, because you had a long history with Boys and Girls Clubs. Guardian ad litem, we'll say in a broad sense, is still looking at the welfare of children, although in this case very specific to how they are represented in the legal system. And literally then, a guardian ad litem is somebody who stands on behalf of the child in this legal matter, as it's literally translated, ad litem, as a volunteer, but advocating or representing for the child in the court system. Is that accurate?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
We are blessed to have over 10,000 volunteers throughout the state of Florida who are guardian ad litems. These are true advocates for children who are in the foster care system because of abuse, neglect, or abandonment. And like I said, they're volunteers. They get paid zero. They have to go through an intensive background check. They have to go through an intensive training process. And then they are assigned a case, and their role is to be the advocate for the child that they're representing. And that is their only goal. That is their only role. That is their only purpose. They are the voice for that child that may not otherwise have a voice.
And I would imagine, Eric, that that commitment from that volunteer is pretty sizable. They aren't simply showing up at a meeting or two. They really take on the magnitude of this child's welfare in that capacity. What kind of people are these who make such commitments?
Well, we're blessed that we have people from all walks of life. Of course, all of our volunteers have to pass a level 2 background screening. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Then they have to complete 30 hours of volunteer training. Then they are assigned a mentor, a peer mentor, that goes with them on their first initial home visit, basically is there to help them in their first case. Mm-hmm. And then, on average, most of our guardian ad litem volunteers, they average about 10 hours a month in the amount of time that they spend on their cases for their children.
And in that capacity, what are they doing with their role as guardian ad litem?
They are basically doing everything from making sure that the child's educational process is being handled properly.
So the kid shows up for school on time and
they
has a school lunch in hand and
yes,
whatever.
They make sure that the medication that the children are on is proper.
They're really the surrogate parent.
They are the the eyes and the ears, basically, for the judicial system.
Wow.
But then in return, they are the voice for that child.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we have children that we serve, I mean, from birth until they can be a part of the guardian ad litem program until age 22 if they have a disability. So, matter of fact, I was looking at some numbers yesterday, and we have almost 7,500 children that we serve statewide that are between the ages of 5 and 10.
My goodness.
And like I said, we represent the entire state, and our volunteers are everything from a person who may be a retail clerk somewhere to they may be the CEO of a company. We're very blessed that we have a very wide range of volunteers. The main criteria is that you've got to have a deep commitment to want to help a child.
Talking with Eric Clark, he is the CEO for the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Foundation, an organization which stands alongside the legislatively authorized agency, Florida Guardian Ad Litem Agency. We're learning about their role as an organization, as the foundation, both in terms of PR and fundraising and recruiting and retaining volunteers. And it's our pleasure to have Eric Clark with us as we continue in this conversation. Folks, you're in tune with TallahasseeTalks.com. Eric, we have already learned that the kind of person, the caliber of this volunteer is notable. And I can't imagine a more significant position to occupy in relation to the welfare of another human being, particularly a child. So for you, looking at this, you aren't dispassionate about your role. This is very important stuff to you, isn't it?
Well, I think in order to be successful in any line of work or any business, you have to have a passion for what you're doing to be, if you want to be successful. Mm. And I've had the privilege in my 25 years of work experience to basically help with the betterment of the lives of children.
Yeah.
First with Boys and Girls Clubs and now with the Guardian Ad Litem Foundation. It's easy to get motivated to go to work and want to do good things when you can see the incredible differences that the organization you're working for makes.
I imagine you've heard some remarkable stories, too, about some of these kids and some of the volunteers. When I say that, what pops up in your mind?
Some of just the relationships that develop between the guardian ad litem volunteer and the child they're working with.
I mean, these people are heroes. I mean, they're
heroic. In a lot of cases, they are because they are the one stable force in that child's life. We have children that we work with that unfortunately have come from horrific situations from their home. There are stories that we hear of abuse of children who have been removed from the home that are absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
You cannot believe that parents or other custodial people could be that cruel to a child. And these children are just looking for someone who will listen to them, someone who will care about them, someone who, for the first time in their life, will put their best interest at the forefront. And that's what our volunteers do on a daily basis all across the state of Florida. We're working with over 17,000 children in foster care. We have a waiting list of about 6,000. So we're at about 70% of our.
And the limitation there is that you just need more volunteers.
Number of volunteers. Like
wow.
I said, we have 10,000 volunteers. And this work is so intensive and needs to be handled in such a proper manner is that you cannot give a volunteer five kids.
Yeah.
We like to keep our volunteers at worst case at one.
Right.
Maximum two, in most cases,
right.
children, if they're like a brother, sister, something like that.
Right.
Because if not, then they can't give the child the proper amount of attention
right.
that they need.
Right.
So we need volunteers all across the state. And there are specific areas that we need more volunteers than others. We're very blessed here in Tallahassee that we have a very strong circuit director here in Deborah Moore. Deborah and her staff do a wonderful job here in Tallahassee.
That's my understanding, that the agency itself is really an expression of or is handled as an extension of the court system, right? It's the judges that are calling upon your agency to provide this advocacy for the child. Is that right?
Yes, we have 20 programs throughout the state of Florida that are aligned with the 20 judicial circuits in the state of Florida.
So it's tied directly.
Everywhere from Pensacola all the way to Key West. Here in Tallahassee, we're part of the second judicial circuit. And like I said, that office is led by Deborah Moore. But yes, the judge makes a decree, so to speak, that the child needs a guardian ad litem representative, and then it's our role to find that person to be the guardian ad litem for them.
And my understanding, too, is that not only are you in need of more volunteers, you're in need of greater funding, because while the legislature has established the guardian ad litem program going back to 1980, funding isn't necessarily sufficient in order to do everything you need to do. So that's where the role of foundation comes in, that you're not only helping to promote the activity, you're there to actually do some of the fundraising.
Yes.
Right.
We're very blessed at the Guardian Ad Litem program to be a state agency and to receive the amount of funding that we do from the state of Florida. The role of the Guardian Ad Litem Foundation is to be able to provide resources to our Guardian Ad Litem volunteers that will, what we call, be able to allow them to do normalcy activities for the children. An example, let's say the state of Florida does a wonderful job in making sure that a child in foster care has adequate shelter, adequate food, adequate clothing, those type of things.
Right.
But let's say that you have a 10-year-old who wants to be on the Little League team, and it costs $100 for the registration fee. That is something that the foster care system, in most cases, will not pay for. So that is where the dollars that we raise at the foundation, as well as with our local nonprofit partners throughout the state of Florida, raise those dollars to where that child can participate.
As you say, normalcy.
Normalcy. That's what our goal is. We want these.
Kid wants a new bike.
Yes.
Let's get him a bike.
Yes. These children have already been damaged and are already very fragile. And our goal is to make sure that they're giving every opportunity that a child that's in a regular, loving two-parent or single, a stable single-parent home gets. We want to level the playing field. We've seen about a 3% increase in the number of children placed in the foster care in the past few years. So right now there's a little over 32,000 children in the state of Florida that are in foster care. And of those, 23,000 have been determined by the judicial system that they need a guardian ad litem.
So the demand, the need is growing, or is already significant. Your ability to meet that demand at this point could use some help, both in terms of volunteers, additional funding. So folks, you know where I'm going with this. You got to step up and be a part of the solution in some capacity. If you want to find out more, you can do it very easily. Guardian Ad Litem, L-I-T-E-M, .org. That's the website, Florida Guardian Ad Litem Program. Our guest, Eric Clark, he is the CEO for the foundation, the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Foundation, that does this great work. My friend, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to
Wonderful.
To share our good works with your listeners.
Absolutely right. GuardianAdLitem.org. That's where you go to find out more. See if you want to get involved as a volunteer. Certainly you can cut them a check. I'm sure that Eric would be happy to receive your contribution. They'll make it go to work in a good way. Folks,